Very few people know that Bryce was an Army Reserve colonel. In fact, I kidded him one day. I said, Bryce, you've been a colonel long enough. Why don't you move up to Brigadier General? He said, actually, I could. He said, but I'll never do it because everybody will think I used White House connections to get that promotion. When I found out where he had worked, originally he was in the Eisenhower administration, then he went with Procter & Gamble. I couldn't believe this man had White House connections. Very quiet, very soft voice. Turned out he had an Oklahoma drawl. And just like one of the guys. And in fact, the first thing he said to me was, it's Bryce and Dave. I said, yes, sir. Just out of reflex. He was a joy and a pleasure. Just a joy and a pleasure.
Bryce N. Harlow was born on August 11, 1916 in Oklahoma City. He would live 70 years and witness some of the most transforming events in American history. Some of these events he saw from a vantage point closer than just about anyone else. Over the course of his life, the United States would fight in 4 major wars. Harlow served his government in 3 of them. America would have 13 presidents during his life. Harlow counseled 4 of them. He closely advised 2 of America's greatest military generals and more members of the U.S. Congress than we'll ever know for sure. And lastly, over the course of his lifetime of 70 years, there were less than 400 individuals presented with the highest civilian honor, Presidential Medal of Freedom. Bryce Harlow was one of them. Harlow amassed a political resume that is matched by only a few people in the history of Washington. But by most accounts, this was never his intention. Despite a strong interest and aptitude for a life in American politics, Bryce Harlow would have preferred to make his mark back in his native Oklahoma, as his oldest daughter, Peggy, recounts.
I don't think he ever thought of having a life in government service. It just was one of those accidents of history. I believe he wanted to be the head of Harlow Publishing Company. And he trained himself to be a thoughtful American citizen. I don't think he foresaw or planned to be in Washington, D.C. all these years. I mean, he trained himself, obviously, pretty well, but he never finished law school. He just found that what he was doing was more important than finishing law school. So I don't think he planned any of that.
Bryce's parents, Victor and Gertrude Harlow, put down strong roots for the family in Oklahoma in the early 20th century. Bryce's son, Larry Harlow, described the influence that Bryce's parents had in preparing him for the path he would ultimately take.
His father, besides being a political figure in the state of Oklahoma, was the owner of Harlow's publishing company, which as you know about that, but he was also a scholar on Christ. And so he had an enormous knowledge about the life of Christ and wrote, I think, 4 or 5 books about the life of Christ. His mother was a school teacher. But, you know, you grow up around an individual like his father, an individual like his mother. Reston, James Reston, was taught also by my grandmother. And so, in essence, he was taught at a very early age and taught about the importance of proper behavior and so forth. And that's how he turned out as he did.
At the age of 22, Bryce Harlow arrived in Washington for the first time. Having already earned his bachelor's degree, he decided to take his academic studies a bit further. He traveled to Washington to write a graduate thesis on the inner workings of the House Ways and Means Committee. The project may have brought him to Washington for the first time in his life, but it would also set the stage for the rest of his life. Larry Harlow described the importance of that first trip to Washington.
He told me when he first came to Washington, I guess he came into Union Station and walked across, put his suitcase down, and just sat in front of the Capitol, totally in awe of the Capitol and what it meant to be in Washington. And I think that type of appreciation and fascination with American government and the symbols of American government imbued everything that he did.
During the late 1930s, Bryce Harlow lived and worked in Washington, D.C. Officially, his goal was to research the inner workings of the House Ways and Means Committee for his master's thesis. But really, he was there to have a close-up view of the U.S. Congress in action in the years leading up to World War II. And by all accounts, that's exactly what he had. Former lobbyist and Harlow friend Richard Cook recounted some of Bryce's tales about what he saw, particularly in the House of Representatives in those early years.
Before the mics came in, the place had to be gaveled down just about every 2 minutes for people neither commanded respect or were good speakers. So, and Bryce was a superb speaker. He used to tell these tales about listening to the debates in the House and the great debaters and orators.
As his career on Capitol Hill advanced, Bryce Harlow soon found himself working for one of the most powerful committees in all of Washington, the House Armed Services Committee. It was an experience that would have an enormous impact on the rest of his career. Lobbyist and Harlow protege George Cook remembered the conflict that Bryce faced in wanting to make his life in Oklahoma, but how he eventually came back to Washington for good.
He worked on the staff of the Armed Services Committee and the Pentagon. His high regard, and I keep using this word over and over because he was Mr. Integrity, but the high regard he had for integrity caused him to move back to Oklahoma. His father had founded a publication back there. A call to duty brought him back when Carl Vinson, most powerful man in the Senate at the time, or on the Hill really, called him back to work for him on the Armed Services Committee.
In the following segment, we will explore how Harlow's reputation for integrity made him one of the most sought-after commodities by the most powerful leaders in the entire country.